it seems here that you have so many boxes, you know, like books alone, you have like boxes, eight boxes of books, you know. And what do you think about this, you know?
How many boxes was it, Eugene? Let me see.
It's all 58, the one you left, you know.
Yeah.
Well, no?
A lot of them were documents, too, no? A lot of them were personal papers and stuff like that. Several boxes just full of personal papers. That's all been stolen, too. I had in there well over 100 boxes, so I put in there 58 boxes just before I left, and I already had dozens and dozens of boxes in there. I probably had between 120 and up to 200 boxes in there. At least 120 boxes, maybe a lot more.
Abby, do you have some collections even in your, you know, when you were U.S. champion when you were 14, 15? Did you have some collections you left there?
I have a lot of stuff in New York, which I'm trying to get the hell out of there before the goddamn Jews grab it. I have some other stuff there.
Oh. Because I'm estimating, you know, because if you have some belongings, you know, as early as that, it's like actually 4 decades of your collections, you know, in that storage that suddenly it's gone, no? It's incredible.
In there is stuff. There was stuff in that Beacon storage house going way, way back to the 60s. There was stuff because I remember I got my legal file from Andrew Davis in New York City. He was my lawyer way, way back in the early 60s. So some of that stuff that they stole goes way back into the 60s, maybe even earlier. They have just stolen stuff that took me decades to put together. I personally put all these files together. I personally got the sale. I personally did everything. All that stuff there, you know, is all my work. This is just two huge file cabinets jam-packed full of documents. And you know how much, you know how many documents those file cabinets can hold, because they're built to hold, you know, papers. You're talking just an absolutely enormous quantity of papers. You can just keep pushing papers into these file cabinets almost, you know, unlimited. You just keep squeezing them tighter and tighter and tighter, you know. And those file cabinets were so full of papers, I could barely open them. You know, they were so jammed in the papers, it was, you know, hard to get the thing open. So jammed, the whole thing, and they have stolen everything which took me years and years and years, decades to put together. Years of work to accumulate it, years of work to put it in order, years of work to, you know, housing it, buying the best equipment I could, putting it in what I thought was the best storage house in the whole LA area. I went all around there looking for the best storage house, and then I kept it in there for 12 years. I was their best customer, and then behind my back, with the cheapest conspiracy imaginable, with this filthy, dirty Jew Bob Ellsworth, for $480, they robbed everything. And they're even trying to justify it, saying it's all legal. It's not legal, because they entered into a conspiracy. First of all, they entered into a conspiracy with Bob Ellsworth, so the whole thing's illegal right there. But secondly, how the hell do you auction off like $100 million worth of stuff for a $480 debt?
You know, Bobby, this is terrible, and Eugene and I, of course, are sympathetic to your cause, but you can't do anything, I think. I don't think you can recover anything with the way you have told us the story. But basically, Bobby, why were they able to break into the storage room? There must have been a court order or an order from an authority.
They knock on the door and they knock. They must have ripped that off. They have some kind of special way to rip it off. I know that. They have some very big, heavy pliers. They ripped that off and they went in there. And then they broke into my safes.
No, but Bobby, I mean, that's in the States and this in the Philippines, the same thing. We're under a democracy. And they can't just do that to you.
Yeah.
Unless they had a court order or something signed from an authority.
Look, they know how to get in touch with me, this Beacons, very easily, because they had brought my safe into the storage room, and when they brought it in, they had damaged the door, and my lawyer, Joseph Cho Jr., negotiated with Beacons about a year to get those bastards to pay me $3,000 damages for the door to my safe.
Bobby, when they were doing this, did the storage people get in touch with you?
No, nobody.
Oh, are you lawyers?
Nobody, nobody. You know, this $400 means nothing to me.
Oh, yes, of course.
$400 in Switzerland. You know, you can ask Yuji when he was here. He was here in August. You know, I paid all his expenses. I gave him a few $1,000s, you know, for his time and trouble. You know, it means absolutely nothing. I carry around more than $480 in the streets. You know, maybe somebody going to rob me now, but I often carry around a few $1,000s. It's nothing to me now, you know. Maybe it was something to me 10 years ago. It's nothing to me now. This is the shittiest piece of, you know, robbery you can imagine. It's only the lowest vermin would do this. But this is the Jewish mentality. See, you or I, we don't enjoy getting what somebody else takes a lifetime to work for nothing. You know what I mean? But the Jews do enjoy it. I want to read you a statement from the Jewish Talmud here. Shows their attitude toward non-Jews' property. See, let me just say it. Here's a statement. It says, "It is always a meritorious deed to get hold of a Gentile's possessions." It says, regarding the Gentile claims to property rights, their possessions are like unclaimed land in the desert. Here's another statement. With respect to robbery, if one stole or robbed or seized a beautiful woman or committed similar offenses, if these were perpetrated by one Gentile against another, the theft, etc., must not be kept. And likewise, the theft from an Israelite by a Gentile. But theft from a Gentile by an Israelite may be retained. See, according to their philosophy, they have a right to keep whatever they stole from a non-Jew. This is their philosophy of life. I mean, they are parasites and predators. You should read the statements they make in their secret books. Here's another one. Even the best among the Gentiles deserves to be killed. Here's another one. The best of the Christians must be strangulated. Now, the Jews are demonic, evil people. They were behind this robbery of my stuff in Beacons. Here's another beautiful statement by the Jews. Listen, this is really the essence of the Jewish philosophy of life. Work is harmful and brings but little. This is their philosophy.
Go ahead, God, please.
What did you say?
No, I said go ahead.
Yeah, this is from the Jewish Talmud and the Jewish Kabbalah. It's just full of this. Here's another beauty. All non-Jewesses are whores. So you just go through all of this. It's really unbelievable filth. But this is, Jews are a criminal people.
You know, Bobby, the way we've been listening to you, we all sympathize with you because it is a very, very lonely fight. I mean, you're all alone. You're up against the big ones. And I'm sure that all the Filipinos and all the Asians listening to us right now sympathize with your cause, just like Eugene and I do.
Now, I'm not just throwing around that the Jews are behind these things, because I can trace all of these crimes against me to the Jews, you see. I can trace the massacre to the Jews. I can trace the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer to the Jews. I can trace the massacre to the Jews. I can trace Beacons to the Jews. I can trace the fact that the U.S. government now is totally controlled by Jews. You just look at all the positions, all the top positions, Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State, Jewish. Secretary of Defense, William Cohn, the Jew. You just the list goes on and on and on. All the top slots now, all the top positions are controlled by goddamn Jews. The Secretary of the Treasury, Robert Rubin, Jew. Spokesman for the Department of the State Department, James Rubin, Jew. Secretary of Agriculture, I think it's somebody, I think his name, maybe Glickman, Jew. There's a Jew, all the top ambassadorial jobs, all the Jews, even like Switzerland, the ambassador, some woman Jew. This Clinton, he's appointed almost all of his ambassadors to all the major countries are Jews. The United States is a totally Jewish country from top to bottom. So the Jews behind this indictment of me. They're the ones who want to put me in prison.
Okay, Bob, we are starting to receive phone calls from all over the country. And here is one. We have some questions here that are basically only one subject. And they're asking just exactly what kind of a court case do you have against the U.S. government, or the U.S. government has against you?
No, it's a joke. It's ridiculous because they're not doing it to other people. It's unfair. They're singling me out, you know. And it's totally absurd. I'm just playing chess. I was not involved in politics. I never took any position on this, publicly took any position on the civil war they had there. For years, the Jew press said, oh, it's a shame Bishop's not playing chess. It's a shame he's a coward. It's a shame he doesn't want to play. Then suddenly I want to play. Then they write me and say, oh, you better not play. You're going to jail. When the U.S. government wrote me this letter telling me not to play this match, I guarantee you, this was a letter they sent me on August 21st, 1992, telling me not to play my match with Boris Spassky in Yugoslavia. Then a few months later, when I did play the match, they indicted me. But I guarantee you, if I had not played that match with Boris Spassky in Yugoslavia, you know what the Jew press would have said all over the world? Fischer's a rebel. He doesn't give a damn about some threatening letter from the U.S. government. It never stopped him before. But the reason he didn't play Boris Spassky was he was out of practice for not playing for 20 years. And he was just afraid. That's what they would have said. I guarantee I know the dirty Jews inside out. They would have said the reason Fischer didn't play his match in Yugoslavia with Boris Spassky was not because of this threatening letter, which of course the U.S. government would never have followed up on. They would never have indicted Fischer, you know.
Anyway, Bobby, Romy, wait, I forgot my question, Romy. Well, actually, I was going back. You mentioned earlier, Bob, about the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Yeah,
well, we saw that here, too. It was released a few years ago. You mean to tell me, I mean, there were shots there, there were clips there of you giving a simultaneous exhibition and you training in Argentina, I think. So, was there no clearance of anything from the producers for them to use the clips and also the story about your career?
Right, and my name on
the title.
Yeah. They never wrote me a letter, never one word. And they never have contacted me ever, ever. Nothing. I never got a penny, nothing. Zero. They never got my permission, they never asked my permission.
You know, a lot of people are taking advantage of your celebrity status, Bob.
Yeah, but let me say something else about this. This movie, you know, the United States has been printing all over the world, you know.
Yes.
Red China is making, illegal copies of computer programs. Red China making illegal copies of videos, movies, and all this stuff, right? And it's supposed to outrage the United States because the United States believes in the rule of law, respect for intellectual property rights, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs how unfair Red China is. Where is the United States government on this movie Searching for Bobby Fischer? Every goddamn newspaper all over the country was just praising the movie. What a great family picture Paramount Pictures has come out with this Searching for Bobby Fischer. Go see Searching for Bobby Fischer. Not a word about the fact that they're exploiting my intellectual property rights, that they're ripping me off using my name just to make money. You know, where is the U.S. government? The U.S. government is a fucking hypocrite. It is controlled by dirty, filthy, lying Jews, man.
Bob, we have another phone call here from Suburban City, and this is obviously from an admirer of yours, and it says, how did Bobby celebrate his birthday yesterday?
I went out to a restaurant with a couple of old American friends who were here visiting me, old buddies of mine.
That's good. So, Bobby, exactly what keeps you busy these days?
Well, my main interest right now is to, I want to expose the Jews. I feel this is even a lot bigger than me, you know, because this is not gods that are just persecuting me, you know. This is not just my struggle. I'm not just doing this for myself. Of course, I'm doing it partly for myself, but I'm not just doing it for myself. This is life and death for the world. These goddamn Jews have to be stopped. They are a menace to the whole world, not just to me. Little Israel, tiny little Israel. People don't know this, but this is a fact, and I have several clippings on this, including one from the Jerusalem Post. I read the Jerusalem Post. I read a lot of Jewish publications too. Tiny little Israel right now has three submarines, high-tech submarines, built by Germany and given to them free of charge. And those submarines have nuclear weapons in them, and they are prowling underneath the ocean right now. Tiny little Israel is a full-fledged nuclear power with submarines, with atomic bombs, maybe even hydrogen bombs on them. And this tiny little Israel can destroy your country, it can destroy Hungary, it can destroy America, it can do any guy. They don't know, look, Israel is no longer just a little a threat to the Palestinians or to Iraq or to the Middle East. They're a threat to the world. And this is just the beginning. Israel, believe it or not, in my opinion, Israel intends to become the preeminent military power in the world eventually. Incredible. Look, they started off as just a little agricultural country, supposedly in 48, with Pippin Seam Zone. Who would have imagined 50 years later they're going to have submarines, nuclear bombs right now while I'm talking to you? They can push a button, and in a few minutes there's no more Manila. This is a fact.
That's right. Now, Bobby, I was hoping that you would be planning for another match, but the way things are, you're so preoccupied with so many things that are bothering you, there is no plan then for a match in the near future.
I can handle more than one thing at once. You know, I'm ready to play right now if I get a nice offer for this Fisher random chess. I'm ready now. I mean right now.
Eugene? But to Fisher Random, Bobby, I remember you as a person who's rather, because I remember what you said earlier, you know, that you would rather keep your political views on your own, you know, and you don't like interviews, actually, you know. Actually, you ask good money, very good money for interviews, because in general you don't want to open your views to, you know. But actually what made you open with these interviews is the last straw is this one with the Pickens, you know. And now I describe you as something like a cat, for example, whom they have cornered, you know. And you have no way to go but just to fight back, you know. This is how I see you, Bobby. Even me, I don't want to be in this situation, you know. I mean, you know, fighting all this.
Nobody wants to be in that situation, do you?
It's incredible, you know. As if they have given you no choice, you know, Bobby.
Yeah. Well, this thing with this Beacons is just so outrageous and so low class and cheap and dirty, you know. Look, imagine somebody goes to a restaurant, like, for 20 years, right? And then they know him there. He comes in there twice a week. Then he has a little dispute with the waiter. He says, I asked for decaffeinated coffee, and you brought me caffeinated coffee. And right away, the owner overhears the conversation, calls in the SWAT team, the police, and they gun down the patron, you know? But this is what they've done with me. I was their best customer. 12 years paying them $10,000. Who the hell does that? Who leaves stuff in there? So look, then the guy who's paying behind my back, deliberately working in collusion with me, and gets behind $480. The stuff is worth, when you walk in the room, you see a big, beautiful statue. Well, obviously worth a fortune. We weighed about 60, 70 pounds. Only a strong person like me could even lift a damn thing.
Bob, earlier you mentioned something about your New York. Is it your apartment or is it a storage house where you still have some of your property? So what are you doing about them now?
What?
What are you doing about your New York properties before they get to it?
Just sent a check to have it sent over here to Hungary, I hope.